Yung inawit natin na awitin lamang ngayon ay ito'y katha ng isa sa mga unang native converts sa misyon ni William Carey sa India. So he was a native Hindu and he was converted as Krishna Pal, and he wrote these words, and you will note the words, let every idol be forgot. Alam niyo naman ang Hinduism, it's full of idols. And when he was converted, of course, he had to forego many of these, all of these idols. May binanggit din siyang charms. And again, Hinduism is known for its many charms. Ginamit ko yan para ituro na gamiting ilustrasyon ng isang na convert. Isang nagbalik loob sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo, kinakailangan niyang isuko ang mga iniidolo niya. And this very much is applicable to the issue that we are addressing concerning child discipline. On the matter of child discipline, the idol of our generation is child psychology. Kung ano yung sinasabi ng mga psychologists, bow tayo. Kung anong sinasabi nila about the nature of the child, bow tayo. At kung anong sinasabi nila na gamitin, bow tayo. At sinabi nilang huwag nang mamalo, at bow pa rin. And what is so dismaying, as I have shared to you in the past installments, even Christian organizations and Christian leaders have bought into the propositions of child psychology. And I say that we must break with this idol of our generation and once again stand by the principle of the Word of God. At tinignan natin ang ilan sa mga salita which we again do well to refresh. Proverbs 3:11 and 12. Ang Panginoong Diyos mismo sa ating pakikipag-ugnayan sa atin, ang pagtrato niya sa atin, gumagamit siya ng pagdidisiplina, which includes in the figurative sense, pamamalo. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His corrections. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. So ang punto na inulit-ulit ko ay merong relasyon ang pag-ibig sa pagdidisiplina. In a soft generation, masyadong naging napunta sa direksyon ng leniency at wala na yung pagdidisiplina at ayaw nang gumamit ng pamalo. We are saying that there is a place for that. Once again, Proverbs 23:13 and 14, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Pansinin niyo yung salitang withhold not. Gaya nung pinapaliwanag ko last time, pag nag-withhold, pag sinasabing withhold not, it's something good. Do not withhold something good from the child. And what is that good which should not be withheld? Anong hindi dapat ipagkait? Yung pagdidisiplina, pagwawasto, kasama yung pamamalo. Masakit pakinggan sa atin, you shall beat him with a rod. But it simply means hampasin ng pamalo. Hindi naman to abuse. I kept repeating, any child abuse is heinous. It's a heinous crime, especially coming from parents. But using the rod properly is a good thing for parents. And gusto ko yung sa King James Version translation ng Proverbs 19:18. It's not in the other versions. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Eh, tama yan, di ba? Yan ang dahilan na nag-i-spare tayo ng rod. Umiiyak. Minsan, hindi pa tinatamaan ang lakas na ng iyak. At dahil doon, pigil na yung magulang sa pamamalo. At nangyayari ay we go into the direction of leniency. Now, that should not be the case. So, tinignan natin yung studies, sinagot natin ang kanilang mga premises. And last week, we considered the struggles. We all struggle in the balance of leniency and severity, and we are sinful people still. Even Christian parents have sin to deal with. Dahil dyan, nandun yung mga struggles at tinignan natin how to deal with those who struggle with leniency, how to deal with those who struggle with severity, at sana nakatulong yung ating mga discussion. Now, I want to conclude this short series with the showcases. Ang gagawin ko ay magbibigay ako ng tatlong halimbawa ng mga individual na kinasangkapan ng Panginoon, naging maganda yung kanilang pag kilos, pamumuhay sa kanilang panawagan. And while we are not saying that it's all because of their childhood discipline, yet that's a factor that they themselves recognize. So, tatlong individual ang aking gagamitin, and siguro maikli lamang ito so that we can have more time for discussion on this concluding concluding installment of our discussion. So, ang una kong gagamitin, lahat ng ito madalas yung marinig sa akin as illustration. So, the first is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran theologian and pastor, and what set him apart from other evangelical leaders of the period was that he stood up to Adolf Hitler. Well, kilala naman natin ang taong yan. The face of evil. The one who caused World War II. Tumingin pa lang, galit na galit. But did you know that Adolf Hitler, in fact, had a troubled childhood? Na hindi siya talaga lumaki sa kanyang mga magulang, at yung kaunting panahon na ginugol niya sa kanyang ama was an abusive one. So siguro ganito siya nung baby. Mukhang galit na galit na baby pa lang. But going back to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood up to Hitler, as I've said. He was imprisoned by Adolf Hitler, and in prison, he wrote his masterpiece, The Cost of Discipleship, one of the most moving pieces of literature you would ever read from a Christian perspective. Ajan po niya sinabi yung unforgettable words that God's grace is free. The trouble with Christians today is they have cheapened it. Walang bayad ang biyaya ng Diyos, pero ginawang mumurahin ng mga Kristiyano ngayon ang biyaya ng Diyos. And that is something which really should dismay us. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, at the time that there was almost total silence among Christians, evangelicals included, Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood up to Hitler, and he suffered for it. So we may ask, where did Bonhoeffer develop this sense of what is right and what is wrong, that he could not keep silent in the face of the abuses of Hitler? Tandaan natin, this was a period that there was a lot of anti-Jewish sentiment, ang tawag nun ay anti-Semitism. Hindi pa nababalik sa kanilang lupain ang mga Hudyo, kaya kalat sila, at maraming Hudyo in Europe, Germany included, and many were blaming the Jews, and Hitler exploited that anti-Semitism to develop his idea of the Aryan race. At yung mga Jews, ang sabi niya, ang humihilang pababa sa lahi ng sangkatauhan. And so he instigated what is now known as the Holocaust, yung malawakang pagpatay sa mga Hudyo, and many looked the other way. Either they were afraid, or what is to be afraid of is they shared the anti-Semitic sentiment of Adolf Hitler, but not Bonhoeffer. So where did he get this? Well, in his childhood, in a biography I'm reading by Eric Metaxas, Bonhoeffer, pastor, martyr, prophet, spy. Ang kanyang nanay, by the way, sa kanyang tatay at nanay, his father was not a professing Christian. But he let the mother train and discipline the children. At yung kanyang nanay ang talagang Christian. The faith that Paula Bonhoeffer evinced spoke for itself. It lived in actions and was evident in the way that she put others before herself and taught her children to do the same. The concept of cheap grace that Dietrich would later make so famous might have had its origins in his mother. Perhaps not the term, but the idea behind it, that faith without works is not faith at all, but simple lack of obedience to God. During the rise of the Nazis, she respectfully but firmly prodded her son to make the church live out what it claimed to believe by speaking publicly against Hitler and the Nazis and taking actions against them. So here is Dietrich's mother, Paula, living out her Christian faith even in childhood, at isang bagay na tinuro, think of others, live for others, not for yourself. So she was dealing with the natural sinfulness of children. Here is a case of discipline kay Dietrich. Sinabi ng isang, I think, sister niya, Dietrich was often mischievous and got up to various pranks, not always at the appropriate time. I remember that Dietrich especially liked to do this when the children were supposed to get washed and dressed quickly because we had been invited to go out. So one such day, he was dancing around the room, singing and being a total nuisance. Suddenly, the door opened. His mother descended upon him, boxed his ears right and left, and was gone. Then the nonsense was over. Without shedding a tear, he now did what he ought. So it's just a case of, not that I'm endorsing the kind, but I'm just saying that Dietrich was raised with discipline. And that included physical punishment where necessary. And it is for that reason that when he grew up, not the only reason, again, I stress, but certainly one of the reasons that he grew up with this sense of right and wrong, that you cannot be silent in the face of what is wrong. Remember what I often use as words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer: in the face of evil, to be silent is to speak. Not to act is to act. In other words, not to be silent, to be silent is speaking for evil. Not to act is acting for evil. So he could not be silent in the face of evil, and that moral certainty was certainly raised by the discipline that he experienced in his home. The next person, if I were given a choice to list who I consider to be the greatest leaders of history, she will always be on my top five. Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister of Great Britain from 1979 to 1990, and given the kind of politics in Britain, that was long. Sa Britain, hindi ka halos tatagal ng more than 5 years. Very few lasted more than 5 years in their prime ministership because of the kind of conflict yung British politics. But Margaret Thatcher did. And one of the surprises of her prime ministership was yung peak ng kanyang popularity was during the Falklands War. Falklands War happened in 1982. There is a small set of islands. Parang ating Baho de Masinloc. Falklands. Pero in this case, this was very far away from the UK. This was claimed by Argentina. And tawag nila sa islands na yun, Malvinas. Pero to the British, it's Falklands. And it was their colony. Now, the military junta of Argentina at the start of the 1980s was becoming very unpopular and they were in a crisis situation. So the leader of the junta, General Galtieri, decided to have the population of Argentina behind him by invading Falklands. So akala nila, ang layo niyan, tapos babae yung prime minister ng UK, would they risk a war for something that is so inconsequential as Falklands? But lo and behold, Margaret Thatcher decided to go to war in order to reclaim itong Falklands. So again, that shows you the kind of certainty and conviction that Margaret Thatcher had. Now, what again was the factor behind this moral certainty? Let's, from the biography I'm reading, John Campbell, one of the titles given to Thatcher as a result of the Falklands War was the Iron Lady. At itong sinabi sa kanyang childhood, Margaret's childhood was dominated by her parents' faith. Sundays, the only day in the week the shop was closed, were almost wholly taken up with church attendance. Sunday school at 10 was followed by morning service at 11. Life at home was austere, teetotal, governed by strict rules. The greatest sin of all was wasting time. Every minute of the day was to be filled with useful occupation. Never was a childhood lesson more thoroughly taken to heart. So this Margaret Thatcher was known as a workaholic and worked hard as a prime minister. Now, here is another. Now here, she spoke many times of the legacy of her father to herself. So this is Margaret Thatcher's own testimony. The most important legacy which Alfred gave his daughter was an exceptionally powerful moral sense. More than anything else in her political makeup, it was her fierce confidence that she knew right from wrong, even if what was right was not immediately attainable, which marked Margaret Thatcher out from contemporary politicians. So again, one other episode in Margaret Thatcher's prime ministership was her eye-to-eye confrontation with coal miners when they called for a strike. This was something which other prime ministers proved to be their downfall. The coal miners were so powerful, you don't try to confront them, don't try to displease them. But when they were calling for a strike, Margaret Thatcher stood by her position, and in the end, it was the coal miners who yielded to Thatcher's position. So it is just an example of her moral conviction when it came to issues, not just in politics, but in other fields as well. And she herself attributed to her upbringing yung kanyang conviction na yun. One last man I'm going to use, Charles Spurgeon, the man who has been called the Prince of Preachers, a Baptist minister for long years from 1861 to 1892 until his death, and a very vibrant church. And yet he was again also a man of conviction when there was a controversy in the Baptist Union of the 19th century because of liberalism. He decided to withdraw from the Baptist Union, and that was something which was unheard of, but he did because of his conviction. Well, again, in Spurgeon's childhood, both Mr. and Mrs. Spurgeon made great sacrifices to give a good education to their children, and both parents were equally solicitous respecting the spiritual welfare of their offspring. The parents of the popular preacher well maintained the prestige of their family. The mother, who died not very long since, was a devoted Christian woman. She would gather her children around her to pray for them individually and was accustomed to be especially fervent in asking heaven's blessing on behalf of her eldest boy. Here I'm showing the spiritual side of parenting that Charles Spurgeon experienced in his household. In fact, very strong ang influence ng mother niya sa kanya. Testimony by his own father, John Spurgeon: "I had been from home a great deal, trying to build up weak congregations, and felt that I was neglecting the religious training of my own children while I toiled for the good of others. I returned home with these feelings. I opened the door and was surprised to find none of my children about the hall. Going quietly up the stairs, I heard my wife's voice. She was engaged in prayer with the children. I heard her pray for them one by one by name. She came to Charles and specially prayed for him. I felt and said, 'Lord, I will go on with thy work. The children will be cared for.'" So yung influence ng kanyang mother and the spiritual tutelage of Charles' mother was a very strong influence. Now, the biographer of Spurgeon concerning his mother said this: "The moral and religious development in young Spurgeon was undoubtedly due to a very great extent to the careful and prayerful training of his devoted mother. Herself a daughter of eminently pious parents, she inherited traits of character and possessed religious instincts which could not but have a great influence on the minds, character, and dispositions of her children. Few mothers have succeeded so well in their difficult task. The spiritual prosperity of her children was dearer to her heart than their intellectual progress." This, I think that bears repeating. The spiritual prosperity of her children was dearer to her heart than their intellectual progress. Eternity alone will reveal to how large an extent the prayers offered by that pious mother in the little home sanctuary have been answered. So again, here is a case in point. And later on, Charles Spurgeon will develop this concern for children and their salvation. So my last words are the appeal of Spurgeon concerning the salvation of children. Children need to be saved. Children may be saved. Children are to be saved by instrumentality. Children may be saved while they are children. He who said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven," never intended that his church should say, "We will look after the children by and by when they have grown up to be young men and women." He intended that it should be a subject of prayer and earnest endeavor that children, as children, should be converted to God. The conversion of a child involves the same work of divine grace and results in the same blessed consequences as the conversion of the adult. There is the saving of the soul from death in the child's case, and the hiding of a multitude of sins. But there is this additional matter for joy, that a great preventative work is done, great preventive work is done when the young are converted. Conversion saves a child from a multitude of sins. So let that be our own conviction as a church, na we care for the children, and in caring for them, the most important care is that we care for their salvation, we care for their conversion, and that is what we want to happen. And of course, of the most important means that parents should not withhold from their children is the use of the rod. You never know, in those tearful occasions of using the rod, tearful both for the child and probably tearful for the parent, but in those occasions, you never know in what way that will go a long way to develop the moral conviction of the child, the conviction that there is right, there is wrong, and by the grace of God, that will make them receptive to the truths of the gospel. Any question or anything you'd like to share? I'd like to have more time for sharing and discussion as we leave this subject for quite a while before we raise again the issue of child rearing.
I remember the time po na some of the youth had a sleepover. And during that, ang napagkwentuhan po namin ay yung mga experience namin sa spanking. It was really refreshing to talk about it, and the general consensus was very positive. Hindi po yung parang hinaing na, ay, nung bata pa ako, palagi akong pinapalo at negative. Pero yung na-appreciate po namin, at nakakapagkwentuhan pa nga kami ng nakangiti, minsan tumatawa, yun pong na-appreciate namin na naituro rin sa amin ng mga parents namin yung reason kung bakit kami pinapalo. Hindi lang yung bastang pinapalo para makorek kami, kundi sinasabi nila na this will show you kung that you are sinful and you need the Savior. So papasalamat na rin po ako sa mga parents who dito sa church who strive to discipline their children, kami. At isang, sabihin ko pong isa yung naging tool sa aking salvation.
Okay, thank you, Micaiah. That's a good thought. Na years later, magkakakwentuhan ng mga batang yan at ma-appreciate nila how they were raised with discipline. Isipin nyo kung kasama yung anak nyo doon sa nagkwentuhan at wala siyang ma-share na the kind of loving discipline. I'm sure all our children can be confident in such a group and share something of how they were raised with discipline in their home. Other thoughts? Can you experience, or you want to ask questions, or you may wish to add yourself as a showcase? That's welcome too. Zaldi.
Pastor, ano po ang naging sanhi ni Adolf Hitler para siya maging matapang?
Ano po?
Upang sanhin ang pagiging matapang ni Hitler na nauwi sa pagpatay ng karamihan.
Hindi po siya matapang. Siya ay taong duwag na ginamit ang kanyang kapangyarihan para mangapi, manupil, pumatay ng mga taong walang kalaban-laban. Hindi po katapangan ang gayong bagay. Yun ay karuwagan, kasamaan ng isang tao. Kaya huwag po ninyong hangaan si Hitler. Mahirap na yun. Walo nang hindi siya matapang in the proper weighing of things, pero sinabi ko na isang pinanggalingan niyang sangbahayan is abusive at maaaring isa ito sa mga naging dahilan ng naging ganun ang kanyang karakter. He was incapable of true love. If you I read his biography, the only love that he was known to really have is that of his pet dog. Other questions? Other thoughts you'd like to share? Okay, I want to hear shared experiences of struggles, of how you were helped through. Sige, huli na to. Matagal-tagal pa bago tayo mag-dwell uli sa issue ng child rearing. Mary. Marianne.
Sa akin po, Pastor, gusto ko lang din po i-share yung sa aming mga na-experience din po. Kasi before, siguro hindi naman nalimod sa inyo na talagang meron akong problem regarding doon sa aming mag-ina. Pero sa katagalan din po, Panginoon, tama din yung sinabi kanina yung pinakahuling ano na ang prayer talaga ang siya din po. Root talaga na siyang makapagbago. At saka yung isa ka bang magulang na palibhasa kasi ako yung nag-iisa din na single parent. So lahat na lang na paraan na naisip ko na kung maari, kung paano pa yung paraan ko na pwede ko siyang ilihis doon sa ways niya o sa mga kung ano-anong mga kagustuhan niya. So isa din yung minsan na knowledge na hinihingi ko rin sa Panginoon nung katulad niya noon dati na hindi ko siya mapapapunta dito ng ganun. Pero noong mapabarkada, ang isang way ko lang po, Pastor, kasi yung magkaroon lang siya ng isang tawag nito, isang friend dito na kung saan close siya o kaya ano siya. Isa ding way na nakatulong din po sa akin, and then yung mga brethren din na nakapafeel sa kanya na, ang tawag nito, yung welcome siya, na talagang ano siya, yung mahal siya at pinagpe-pray siya. So ang pinaka general ko na ano talaga po, Pastor, ay yung prayer talaga, na doon talaga minsan talaga umiiyak ako noon. So yun din nakikita ko na may result talaga sa biyaya ng Panginoon.
Okay, thank you, Marianne. Again, yung panalangin ay talagang compliment ng ating ginagawa para sa ating mga anak. That is in recognition that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And that is something that we must not fail doing, yung panalangin para sa ating mga anak. And yung papel din ng iglesia, there will be deficiencies in the home where there is deficiency in fatherhood, they'll find fathers in the church. Where there is deficiency in motherhood, they'll find mothers in the church. And of course, deficiency in siblings, they will find brothers and sisters in the church. So there's where the church has a key role to play. Other thoughts? Jean.
Pastor, yung tanong ko po yung delegation ng authority ng parents sa teacher. Kasi meron kaming former neighbor na nung kinamusta namin nung over the weekend, kamusta na yung bata. Ang sinabi niya, yung bata ngayon, yung anak niya, okay naman, pero nagiging masyadong tamad. And then there's a case na nag-text sa kanya yung teacher para sabihin na pumunta siya sa school the following day. So tinanong niya yung bata, bakit ako pinapapunta ng teacher? So ang nalaman niya na pinirmahan card, report card, nakita ng alam niyang forge yung ginawa ng bata. So pinalo na niya yung anak niya, pero pumunta pa rin siya dun sa teacher. And then sinabihan niya yung teacher, delegated, paluin mo na yung bata kung sa tingin mo ay may maling ginawa yung bata. And then another instance, nag-text na naman daw yung teacher, pero dahil nga hindi nagsusulat yung bata, so ang hindi na siya pumunta kasi sabi niya, dinelegate ko naman na yun doon sa teacher, siya yung parent. So paluin na niya lang yung anak ko. Ako lang, inisip ko, pero kung conscious ka na na meron na naman palang katamaran na ginawa yung bata, well, you delegated yung pag-discipline sa bata right there and then, hindi niya ginagawa oras ng klase, pwedeng pag-uwi, dapat i-deal pa rin niya. Sabi niya, hindi na rin daw niya, hindi na siya pumunta at hindi na rin niya kinonfront yung anak niya. In that situation, Pastor, ako, kasi I was thinking na pwede pa rin sana niyang kinonfront yung bata.
Yes, well, una, dun sa delegation to teachers, I taught, before I became a pastor, I taught in a Christian academy, at isa sa mga requirements for parents when they enroll their children is sign a contract with the school. Among others, ay dinidelegate during school hours yung discipline, including spanking of their children, and pinapaunawa ito sa mga bata. Ibig sabihin, alam ng bata na may karapatan ang teacher na magdisiplina sa kanila habang nasa school hours and premises. Ilang ulit ako nakagamit ng rad doon eh. Pero yun ang agreement, clear dapat sa magulang, clear sa bata. Pero tama yung sinabi mo na hindi yung delegation is not does not mean abandonment to the teachers of parental responsibility. Kung alam ng magulang na at dapat ipaalam ng teacher, si sinasabi rin namin yun sa kanila, pag napalo po ang anak ninyo ngayon sa ganitong offense, so pag uwi sa bahay, dapat na kastiguhin pa rin ng magulang ang kanyang anak. So delegation is not abandonment of the function of discipline. Pero naniniwala ako na during school hours, ay yung bata ay nasa tutelage and authority ng teachers, including discipline. Myla.
Pastor, yung sinabi ni John Spurgeon, ano nga pong trabaho ni John Spurgeon?
He was a pastor of some non-conformist churches, meaning hindi siya under Church of England at the time na hindi yun in-acknowledge ng government.
It came to me as parang comfort din na these men na ginamit ng Panginoon ay nakakita rin ng kanilang pagkukulang at na-comfort din sila na yung wife nila ay nandoon para punuan ang kanilang pagkukulang at marahil ay pinupunuan yun ng walang pagre-reklamo. Ang tanong ko, Pastor, ay paano ba yung tamang guideline doon para sa lalaki, sa father at saka sa mother? Does the wife need to wait for authority delegated to her by the husband? Or pag wala, gagawin na lang niya? How should the husband and wife go about? Because alam nating lahat na in some extent, iba't ibang extent, ay ito ang problema ng mag-asawa in dealing with the children.
Authority over children by the parents is shared authority. Hindi ito delegated authority na parang ang authority ay yung father at yung mother ay dinelegate lang ang authority sa kanya. Hindi ganun. It's a shared authority. Therefore, halimbawa may offense ang bata, maling-mali na sabihin, labot ka sa tatay mo pagdating niya. Ba't humihintay yung dumating? Sa harap mo na nagawa yung kasalanan, dapat ay immediate ang pag-implement ng discipline, and the mother has complete authority to do that. But of course, it would help if she informed, pagdating ng tatay ay i-inform na ganito ang nangyari, para that will not allow the child to play between the two parents. Yan ang madalas na nangyayari. Pag alam ng bata na mas lenient yung ama, or the other way around, he will play. The child has the cleverness to play between the two parents, and we should refresh the thought na yung authority ay shared authority between father and mother over children. Other thoughts? Bim?
Kanina nabanggit yung tungkol sa papel ng church when it comes to sa father, sa fathers or sa mothers or deficiency ng father or parents sa home na pwedeng punuan ng sinumang member ng church. As you recall, I already shared something about this in the past. At ang sa akin, again, ay word of caution lang. As in, any other relationship, as in any ano na pwedeng mayroong deficiency in the home, whether it's parents or husband, wife, deficiency in the home. Ang word of caution lang doon is not to undermine the authority or the position or the place of the person that God has given for that or put in that place sa buhay ng bata. So kung sa parent, dapat mag-ingat siya na hindi siya maging dependent doon sa kung sino mang church member na makakapuno doon sa role na yon. At the same time, yun namang church, kasi meron ding word of caution din doon sa church member na ang feeling niya, papel niya na punuan yung kakulangan yon, na to the point na maari siyang magkasala din dahil hindi niya yun pananagutan. So meron doong tao na nakalagay na maari niyang tulungan pero mag-ingat siya na hindi niya papalitan.
We're not talking here of feeling the place of any deficiency in the home. I'm talking here of the child finding the deficiency in the home, finding in the church fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters which are not present in the home. So we're not talking here of any feeling the place at all. Other questions? Other experiences you like to share? Myla?
Nung nag-speak ako sa ilang mga women sa conference sa RIBAP, nung umaga, ang mga audience doon ay mga mothers lang. Pero nung after lunch, may mga ilang nag-migrate from other sessions. Of course, we welcome namin sila. Sila ay mga dalaga na bumaba from other sessions at pumunta sa session namin. And natuwa rin ako dahil dalaga pa to sila. Actually, ikakasal na sila. At inisip nila na dapat silang mag-aral doon. So we were happy for that. Pero ako personally, minsan iniisip ko pag nag-struggle ako sa mga pagdidisiplina, pamamalo, pagtuturo sa mga bata, iniisip ko na sana mas maaga pa rin akong nag-aral tungkol sa mga bagay na ito. Although minention ko rin doon sa talk na yon na I'm very, very thankful to God na dalaga pa ako ay natuto na ako ng word ng God from the church and from example ng ilang couple sa church kung ano ang tamang pagtuturo sa mga bata, anong ways ng God sa pagdidisiplina. But it really means a lot kung yung mga bata ngayon, siguro wala pa kayong boyfriend, wala pa kayong girlfriend. Siniseryoso nyo na yung pakikinig and even pag ikakasal na kayo, isang importanteng section siguro ng preparation ay pag-aralan ninyo ulit kung na may narinig na kayo yung tungkol sa pagpapalaki ng bata God's way.
Okay, that's correct. It helps a lot if we are already prepared prior to becoming parents ourselves, na alam natin ang tinuturo ng Biblia, nakita natin yung mga halimbawa at modelo sa pagpapalaki ng anak. But still, as every parent here will tell you, parenting is still very much an on-the-job training. It is something you learn with it. It's something that you don't have everything prior to. It grows with you as you parent the child. John?
Paano po, when mostly we talk about role ng parents and then pwedeng i-delegate sa other adults. Paano sa magkakapatid? Na usually kasi, Disclaimer lang, I rarely get this problem kasi si inay naman, si Tito Jun, palagi nasa bahay. Pero usually, ang tendency pag kumara, may isang nakakatanda and then mas nakita niya na nagka ano sa kapatid, ang tendency ay isusumbong kita sa tatay. Susumbong kita pag uwi ni ano. O nagiging ganun na lang, nagiging puro pananakot. So how can the same principles be applied in the level of siblings?
Well, sa biblical culture, yung pinakamatanda sa magkakapatid ay tinuturing na kapalit ng magulang kung wala yung magulang. So in other words, the eldest, usually the firstborn, is given parental authority over younger children when the parents are not present. So, pero kailangan, kagaya rin sa teacher na sinabi ko kanina, clear sa mga bata, habang wala ako, ang kuya nyo, ang bahala sa inyo, at bilang kuya, may karapatan siya, may otoridad siya na magsaway, magsabi, at kung kailangan ay magdisiplina. So, again, the parents should make that clear to the younger children. Huwag mong sabihin, alam ko na.
May share ko lang, Pastor, no? Kasi ngayon, yung reputation ko, I don't know, maybe even the church, ano, sa mga peers ko at sa mga kapatid ko, bruto ako. Kasi I grew up talagang, I would not be ashamed to say na naranasan kong paluin na matindi ng nanay at tatay ko, palurin sa asin, at malamas na lang asin ang bibig ko, ng nanay ko. Yet, hindi ko kinakahiya yon at I never took it against my parents. The thing is, ngayon, pag bumabalik ako doon, ang hindi lang maganda nangyari ay kasi hindi mananampalataya yung magulang ko eh. Ang masasabi ko lang sa mga bata, mapalad kayo kasi narinig niyo yung magandang katuruan eh. At yung mga magulang, napapaalahanan na pag pinalo ang bata, ay may dahilan. Unlike before noon, kung hindi nga Kristiyano yung magulang, wala, basta napalo ka tapos na boxing. Bahala ka na, di ba? Pero ngayon, I can say, by those learnings, I'm privileged kasi nung mag-asawa ko at magkaanak ako, I made it a point na yung formative years ay talagang i-establish ko yung authority at discipline sa mga bata. That's why I had the privilege na mas takot ang mga anak ko sa akin kasi kay Mayan. Sa totoo lang, bihirang-bihira akong paluin itong mga batang ito. Kasi sabi ko nga, as what always said, count of two, wala nang lalampas doon, susunod na lahat sila. Pero kay Mayan, pag nasa biyahe ako, in the middle of the meeting, makakaresibo ako ng text. Pero hindi ko sinisisi ang asawa ko because I know for a fact na mas exposed siya sa mga kapilyahan ng mga bata. And it's also a realization sa aming mag-asawa na kasi minsan, naandun ka na talagang you will budge or not. Hindi mo pwede i-compromise yung disiplina eh. Pero at the same time, hindi mo pwedeng kalimutan yung pagmamahal mo sa mga anak mo. So balancing between the two is really a very tough job para sa mga magulang. And sana, sabi ko nga, yung mga bata, the fact na narinig nitong mga thoughts na to at katuruan ito, sana namnamin nyo. Huwag nyo nang intayin na tumanda pa kayo saka nyo lang ma-realize. And yun nga, mga magulang, talagang hindi pwedeng sumuko dahil mahirap talaga.
Okay, thank you, Ike. When husband and wife will know which, hindi naman sila magkapareho, hindi the same level yung kanilang personality. So one of them will lean towards leniency, the other might lean towards severity, and they should talk. They should mix where they are struggling so that they come to a happy mean as far as parenting is concerned. At yung isang gusto ko i-pick up dun sa sinabi ni Ike na mahalaga sa atin, some of us may have come from homes where the discipline was severe. Huwag natin sabing abusive, but perhaps severe. I told you before, I came from a home where my father was a military man and I had military discipline. Ay, hindi ko nasasabihin yung mga methodology, but it was military. While in my days of unbelief, I was a stowaway because of that, but the Lord has delivered me from any animosity towards my parents, or my father in particular, and that's something that I would say to adult children here na merong ganong karanasan sa inyong bahay, never be in bondage to animosity because of the kind of severity you have experienced. Pray for deliverance if there is any of that. Alalahanin natin, hindi sila mananampalataya nung gawin nila iyon at they just did probably what their parents did to them at na it was a long chain. Break the chain with you and then develop both love intimacy as well as parental authority. Jean.
Pastor, yung sa siblings, yung delegated authority din sa sibling, paano kaya yung accountability nung firstborn? Kasi in one of my travels, napanood ko sa plane, meron doon na dinelegate ng parents yung authority doon sa firstborn. Pero yun na, i-spank niya kung hindi gagawin yung mga pinagagawa niya na talagang parang may pagka funny, very funny. Pero tingin ko mali yung pinagawa ng panganay na kapatid doon sa kanyang bunsong kapatid. Pero yung pamamalo ang instrument para pasunurin. So, ang question ko po doon ay ano yung ngayon ang accountability ng mga firstborn in cases na nagkaroon ng abuse doon sa authority or yung paggamit ng rod for the wrong reason ay paano yun? Yung bata, the younger sibling should inform the parents?
Yes, that is a delegated authority. Therefore, yung firstborn or yung eldest should be accountable to the parents. And in that light, kung patlagay ng siblings sila'y naabuso, pwede nilang sabihin sa magulang at yung magulang ang mag-a-assess ng accountability ng firstborn child if he ever abused his authority. But on the other hand, of course, it's firstborn children din ang nagtitake ng anumang bagay na makasasama sa mga nakababata, sila ang sasangga. You remember the story of the brothers of Joseph, yung responsibility ng kanyang pagka-sold to slavery ay sining eldest, Judah. Judah, pero nung panahon na ni Benjamin at nung nagkukunwari pa si Joseph para lang i-test sila at sinabi ikukulong si Benjamin, nag-volunteer si Judah na siya nang ikulong. So you see there also the authority of the firstborn, but also he takes the responsibility over and above that of his younger siblings. Esther.
Share ko lang po yung experience namin magkakapatid. Tawag dito. Kami sa bahay, we grew up, yung pamalo din namin, lumalaki. Ayun. And actually, yung sinasabi niyo po na yung pamalo ay necessary lang siya in the formative years. Pero kami, ako personally, yung pamalo sa akin, tumagal hanggang nung college ako. Ayun, which shows yung hard-headedness ko. And masabi ko lang, parents ko, hindi nila pinalalampas yung punishment sa aming magkakapatid, lalo na kapag lalo't kailangan. Ayun, tapos, so, si daddy, talagang very severe mamalo. And ngayong matanda na kami, na-realize namin na yung severity ng punishment just shows nga yung severity din ng sin namin and yung pagiging hard-headed namin. And the important thing was, kahit gano'n ka lala yung pagpalo, after nun, sila daddy pa yung naghihilom yung sugat. sugat. Yung ganun. So, yun po, na-feel namin yung love na tapos yun, clear sa amin na pinapalo kami kasi mahal kami and ayaw kaming magkasala. So, ayun.
Okay, so severe mamalo ang daddy mo. That's not hard to believe. But maganda yung point na after every spanking session ay the affirmation ng love and concern for the child, which is supposed to be the way it should be. Tina.
Nagpapasalamat po ako sa Panginoon dahil meron po tayong ganitong iglesia na nagtuturo po talaga ng salita ng Diyos, ng pagiging magulang, ng disiplina. Ang mga anak po namin ay nagmulat ang mata dito, lumalaki na sila dito, at baka magkaroon din sila na ng sariling pamilya nila. Sana po magpatuloy po na mag-persevere po tayong mga parents na palakihin sila sa salita ng Panginoon. At yun po, patuloy po tayong magpanalanginan kasi kailangan po natin yun. Hindi natatapos sa isang stage ang pagiging magulang natin kasi yun po sa ngayon na mas lalo pong pinaparealize ng Panginoon sa akin yun sa pagiging nag-iisang magulang ngayon na kailangan po talaga natin yung pag-cast ng sarili natin sa Panginoon dahil hindi po, kung wala po siya talagang hindi po natin kayang gawin. Personally, ako po, hindi ko po kayang gawin talaga yon. I am helpless. Pero yun pong biyaya ng Panginoon, mas magiging matingkad yun dahil sa ipapakita po niya sa kahinaan natin yung kanyang kalakasan kahit pa po sa area na to na siya po ang magbibigay ng wisdom. So yun po yung ano ko, na patuloy po tayo magpanalanginan hindi lang po para sa mga anak natin kundi tayo po sa isa't isa na mga magulang. At yun, sana po let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, sabi po ng Bible. So nagpapasalamat po ako sa Panginoon at pinupuri ko po siya sa lahat ng to.
Okay, thank you Tina, and I hope we count it one of our favors na naturuan ng salita ng Diyos sa mga bagay na ito. Imagine, why did Christian organizations such as what we considered sa series na ito, why did they take the position that they are taking when the Word of God is so clear? And it can only be because they were not molded and honed by the teaching of the Word of God. So count it a favor when you are taught this. But ultimately, again, nasa Diyos ang pagkilos, which means always the complement of the means is prayer to God. Karol.
Pastor, I'll just add a comment on yung delegating responsibility of disciplining the children to the firstborn or to any older sibling. Siguro, before as parents, even pwedeng ang case kasi is like sasabihin na lang sa parents when the parents go back what the child had done, and then the spanking session will commence upon the return of the parents. Or another way is kailangan clear dun sa bata how the discipline will be done and how it ought to be administered with a proper conversation and talking to them on how the sin against God was done and why it is being done before the delegation of the responsibility for the discipline should be done.
Kaya sinabi ko kanina na sa pag-delegate sa firstborn, halimbawa, the eldest for that matter, ay clear sa younger siblings, and to the eldest, ay clear din sa kanya yung mga pwede niyang gawin na discipline. Ang mahalaga rito ay the immediacy of implementing discipline where it is necessary, because we're talking here of very young children na hindi mo pwedeng sabihin sa pagdating pa, kundi maipadama na kaagad sa punto ng kanyang kasalanan na sin hurts. Go ahead.
Question po to ng isa sa mga bata. What kinds of discipline can a firstborn do to his her younger siblings?
As mandated by the parents. So halimbawa, clear ang rules na hindi ka pwedeng gumamit ng swear word, at kapag gumamit ka niyan, ikaw ay papaluin. So, pag yung firstborn na, ganun din yung rule. Dahil dinelegate sa kanya yung rule. Other thoughts? Glenn?
Sa mga kabataan, sa mga tayo sigurong mga may edad na experience natin sa mga magulang. Sa akin naman, experience ko sa nanay ko, lagi akong napapalo. Pero experience ko sa tatay ko, siguro mga mabibilang ko lang sa kamay ko yung napalo ako na talagang pagkagulo ko, pagka makulit ko, or at the same time yung mga kasalanan talagang malalaki. So malaking impact yon. Pero hindi ko nagamit yon hanggang tumanda na ako. Ibig sabihin yung college life na, parang ganun na. Parang ang implication dito sa ating mga magulang ay yung mga palo natin ay minsan hindi natin nakikita immediately sa mga bata na nakikita natin na minsan yun ang impact na effective yung ating pamamalo. Parang dapat magpatuloy tayo kasi ang impact yun baka college minsan sa married life na lang natin naramdaman. At pinaka-importante dito sa akin ay siguro kulang yung mga pagtuturo sa aking mga magulang. But yung pag, nung maging Kristiyano ka na, malaking bagay yon. Talaga isang sa mga siguro kaya panalangin natin sa mga anak natin ay sila ay maging Kristiyano kasi mas maganda talagang impact ng ating pagdisiplina sa kanila pag sila ay naging Kristiyano. At isa sigurong tip, ay hindi naman tip, kundi tayong mga magulang, we tend to be strict talaga sa mga anak natin, disiplinado sila. But sometimes you have to, kagaya sinabi ni Pastor, choose your battle. May mga bagay pa, ipapanalo nyo may mga anak, parang i-enjoy nyo sila. May mga bagay na hindi moral issue, hindi mawana. Minsan tawanan nyo na lang din. Parang may para magkaroon sila ng confidence din sa sarili nila. Minsan nasunog masyado yung itlog, tawanan mo na lang at kainin nyo lahat na yun lang uulamin nyo. May mga bagay na gano'n na minsan ba ay papaluin mo dahil nagpakulay ng buhok o kaya nagpakalbo siya. O yung mga bagay na yun na may mga bagay na pwedeng ipanalo nyo sila.
Yeah, I think in our study of struggles last week, I made the distinction between kinakalang magumawa ka ng distinction sa childishness, weakness, willfulness. You don't punish for childishness. Let's say, hindi coordinated yung kanyang motor skills pa, not fully developed, makakabasag ng pinggan, ng baso. I don't think dapat parusahan ng dahil doon. Or weakness, may kanya-kanyang weakness physically as well as emotionally. I don't think that also should deserve punishment. But what deserves punishment is willfulness, meaning tahasan na pagsuway o paglabag o pag hindi paggalang sa magulang, that deserves punishment. But other than willfulness, yes, I agree na may mga bagay na tawanan mo na lang or i-develop mo, but willfulness deserves punishment. Papo?
Pastor, paano po doon sa mga kabataan na na-convert pero ang mga magulang ay hindi Kristiyano, may mga kapatid din silang maliliit, na ang mga magulang ay pwedeng mamalo nang wala sa lugar, basta-basta na lang na mamalo, kaya hindi na mamalo. Pwede ba nilang paliwanagan ang kanilang mga magulang na hindi Kristiyano ng tamang pamamalo at dapat mamalo?
Kung gusto nilang mapalo rin, pero kasama yun sa i-risk nila sa kanilang patotoo. When I was bearing witness to my father already as an adult, nagagalit siya kung minsan o nagtataasan ng boses, pero it's one of those things na you take the risk in doing witness to your parents. At kung minsan gusto mong gawin yung ginawa ni Judah, siya na lang ang makulong, sabi mo, ikaw na lang paluin. That's Christ-like. Some last thoughts. Myla.
I have been thinking ulit kung ano yung mga ginamit ng Lord para matulungan ako. Although I'm not saying na walang struggle, mabigat pa rin yung struggle kahit anim yung anak namin. Other than yung minention ko kanina na natuto ako from God's Word early on, estudyante pa ako, nagsimula ako ng marinig at makita sa isang tunay na iglesia, yung tamang paraan, na-observe ko din much later na yun palang naturuan ka, nakita mo, hindi pa rin pala sufficient. Of course, the prayer should be there and yung biyaya ng Panginoon. But one practical thing na naalala kong nakatulong is may kapatid na medyo kakalabit sa'yo at dahil nakikitang medyo mali ang pag-apply mo nung katuroang narinig mo. So, sa isang magulang, para bang ito na yung pinaka-touchy na matter na pwede mong pakialaman yung tungkol sa anak niya. Pero sa paraan gagawin natin sa pagkalabit sa kapatid na kapatid, parang medyo ano yata yung paraan ng pagdisiplina mo, masyado kaya tang lenient, mukhang dapat mo na siyang paluin. This is very difficult na trabaho, but kailangan nating gawin sa bawat isa. It hurts me so much kasi I have the experience to see some Christians na alam kong lumaki sa iglesia, narinig ang tamang turo, but when they got married, parang magugulat ka kung anong ginagawa nila sa anak nila. Parang hindi nila natutunan yung tama. So, may iba pang bagay na kailangan tayong gawin other than to learn and to pray. We have to be that tool din para ipakita sa kapatid na, ay kapatid, hindi yata yan. You know, in a very graceful manner, we have to rebuke or to teach in the practical way yung word na alam na natin.
Okay, thank you, Myla. And that's a good point na sa church merong ganyang dynamic. And tama yung sinabi ni Myla na parents are very touchy when it comes to handling their children. It's hard to receive it from others. Madalas nating ibalik, hindi mo lang kasi alam ang anak ko, hindi mo kilala ang anak ko. May mga ganyan tayong pangangatwiran. But remember the thought we said concerning love. Love has the component of rebuking, of correcting. And when a brother or a sister approaches you to do just that, remember na most likely nag-atubili rin siya, but it was love that pushed him, her, to tell you. So, ang isang practical na bagay, of course, wag natin gawin yung correction in the presence of the children, kundi private matter, it's a very private matter, but when you do correct, do it out of love, and when you are the one being corrected, receive it in love. Meron pa? Marianne.
Pastor, gusto ko lang po ipahabol yung lesson natin for the past weeks about dun sa spanking. Ano. Kasi ako ay talagang lumaki ako sa mga grandparents lang na Katoliko. So yung mga sinasabi natin dito, yung katuruan ng mga spanking sa stages ng ganito, from 3 to 7, hindi ko yun naririnig sa kanila noon. Although na nung nawala na sila, napalipat nga ako sa Baptist, pero kahit yung doon din, hindi ko rin narinig yung mga ganitong katuroan alike talaga dito. So, sa totoo lang, hindi ko talaga na-apply yun sa anak ko during stages nung 3 to 7 talaga yun. So, itong mga lately lang nung nasa teens na siya. So, ang inaano ko lang po dito, Pastor, ay nag-iisip din ako noon akong sana naman kung naisip ko noon na kung bakit nangyari sa akin doon sa church na yon, kung bakit ako dito napapunta, siguro mayroong purpose ang Panginoon na nililid sa akin. Isa din yun siguro sa pagpalaki ko sa anak ko. Kaya ang naano ko lang po doon, na pinapasalamatan po na kahit late na kami, o late po na nagawa yon, kasi wala na nga yun sa spanking na stages yung pag-ano ko sa anak ko. Kaya ang na ano ko lang po, ang napasalamatan ko lang po yung kahit naman nahuli ang aking pag-ano doon sa kanya, pag-apply noong paraan sa tamang pagdisiplina sa kanya, at least po kahit papaano po naihabol ko rin sa pamagitan po ng katuroan dito, sa pamagitan din po ng paghingi ng karunungan sa Panginoon at paghanap din po sa pamaraan kung paano ko siya mapapalapit din po sa iglesyang ito, at lalong-lalo na po sa prayer po ng mga kapatid.
Okay, thank you, Marianne. even if we failed in the initial discipline of the child, a Christian always has that hope for converting grace. And yun ang inaasahan natin na ultimately makapagpapabago sa isang tao na nasa kasalanan, we have converting grace to hope upon. And by the way, ililiwanagin ko lang, I said first 6 years, hindi 3 to 7 ang pagdidisiplina sa bata. The first 6 years are the years that both from the standpoint ng biblical discipline as well as in the study of the formative years of the child. Somebody said, and with some, of course, with some flexibility of understanding, he said, give me the first 6 years of the child and I'll have him for a lifetime. Ang ibig niya sabihin, pag nagawa mo ng tama yung first 6 years by the wisdom pattern of God, yun naman ang sinabi ng 22:6, Proverbs 22:6, di ba? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Last din.
Sa harap ng mga nakita nating mga example, at saka hindi lang yung mga pinakita ni Pastor, kundi maski siguro may mga kilala rin tayo na nakikita natin na okay, na discipline nila yung mga anak nila, and to our ano observation, their children turned out well. May caution lang kasi meron kaming maliit na decor sa bahay na kasulat. Someone else's achievement should serve as not as a standard but as an inspiration or an encouragement. Kasi there is a tendency na for us being sinners na parang ginagawa nating standard yung mga tao. And at the same time, tayo din na who parang nasa position tayo na naka-achieve, we can also unknowingly present ourselves as a standard. No, again, I said unknowingly. So, yun ang isang caution na huwag nating kalimutan na biyaya pa rin siya. Child discipline is an act of faith and a means of grace. Gaya ng sinabi ni Pastor kanina na kasi there are people na who claim na sinunod naman nila lahat ng sinabi ng scripture, but somehow their kids not turn out as they expected or as what is promised. So kaya it is really still nasa Panginoon pa rin ang lahat ng yon. And siguro ang reminder na rin is ang importante is we rear our children as the Bible said, kumbaga as an obedience to His command, regardless of the outcome. So, yun.
So, let's use the showcases this morning as an inspiration sa atin, whether it's Bonhoeffer, Thatcher, Spurgeon. In the past, we considered Augustine and others. Let them be an inspiration sa parents that when we see in history, men and women who the Lord used in order that we may have a proper rearing of children, and when they are applied under God's wisdom, ay pinagtatagumpay ng Panginoon, maging inspiration sa atin at gawin natin as the verse cited kanina, be not weary in doing good, for we shall reap when we do not faint. The fruit may be long in coming, but we always hope in the grace of God. That's the value of using our parental means. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa mga pinag-aralan namin sa serye na ito. Maraming hamon para sa amin, lalo't sa panahon na mismong mga Kristiyanong organisasyon ay kumikiling sa child psychology. Tulungan mo kami, Panginoon, na itaboy ang idolong ito sa amin, kundi manghawakan kami sa haligi ng iyong salita ukol sa pagpapalaki ng aming mga anak. At alam namin ang mga struggle sa mga bagay na nilalabanan namin, maaring sa nakakiling kami sa leniency o maaring sa severity. But whatever it is, we pray, Lord, for wisdom And we pray for the parents here and those who will become parents one day, that that wisdom will lead them to use the rod appropriately as a function of love and as a good that is not to be withheld in restraining the foolishness that is bound up in the heart of the child. But no matter what we do, we can only rest upon your grace. Only your grace can ultimately change the hearts of our children. And we entrust them to you that the words that they have been hearing from the parents, from the pulpit, from the Sunday school classes and Bible study, and in any other way, would bear fruit one day in their lives. And as we were reminded by the mothering of Charles Spurgeon's mother, that she regarded the spiritual prosperity of her children greater than their intellectual development. May that be our own value, and we offer our children to you with in prayer, desiring that they become not only our children, but brothers and sisters in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So prosper these lessons to the parents and would-be parents of our church, to your glory and to the promotion of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.